Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Management 305. We're going to talk about application management in the private and public clouds. Thank you all very much for joining us today, even through all the networking hassles. I'm glad you're able to come here. Good news is the networking up here is working, so we're able to show you some of the demos today. On my environment, Daniel here has totally self-contained, so it's going to be an exciting presentation. My name is Kenan Owens. I'm a technical product manager focusing on System Center and the private cloud, as well as Hyper-V. And here is Daniel Savage.
Hi, I'm Daniel Savage. I'm a program manager. I work in engineering on the Operations Manager product.
So we're going to break this into two different parts. We're going to talk about the self-service aspects of managing the application. And then after I go through some of that and some demos, then Daniel's going to come up and he's going to talk about performance monitoring and how you can get the application insight into what's happening on that application. So we got a lot of content to cover here, so we'll get started. All right. One thing that we've realized when we came out with System Center 2012 is that the infrastructure that you're running your private cloud on is important, but the application is what you're really scored against. When you deliver this for your customers, you need to make sure that that application is up and performing and getting the resources that it needs, and that if something does happen, you can quickly recover and get that back up in line. Also, we've heard from our customers, from you guys, that your customers, the business units, they want to have some type of self-service capability. Is that us? Where they can get the applications deployed when they deploy them, when they need to, and not have to wait for IT to get in the way. So one thing we found is that to marry those two things together, you had to basically think of an application as a new kind of model. It's a service that you provide. It's not just one virtual machine, or most of the time, it's not just a single virtual machine, but instead, it's usually a collection with multiple tiers, and each tier may have one or more virtual machines or databases assigned to it. So we wanted to be able to abstract that application to make it easily and consistently deployable and use technology where we can pull that application out of, say, a test environment and be able to quickly deploy it into production. We wanted to provide consistency, meaning that I can deploy this application over and over again and get the same results. This means that I could create the application once, and then I can deploy it either in multiple different tiers, like maybe a dev, stage, and production, or to different groups.
And you need to...
I speak two languages. I'm a ventriloquist, like Jeff Dunham. The other thing is, once this application is running, you need to have insight into how it's performing. But then as an IT administrator, when you're managing your infrastructure, you don't want these end users to just deploy as many applications as they want all over the place, taking up all your resources. You want to have control of not only what they can deploy, but how much of it that they can deploy. So by taking this view with System Center 2012 as an application as a service, what types of things does an application really have inside of it? Well, first of all, you have this delivery lifecycle. This application, your end users, your business units, they give you a spec. I need this many servers. I need this many in a web tier with web servers deployed and this type of package of the website on it. I need a middle tier application server. It needs to be this size. And I need a SQL database for, say, a standard three-tier application. The other thing I need to do is, after I have that specification, I can build them a service template. I can build the VM templates that I use, and from those VM templates, pull them together into what we call a service template, which has multiple tiers, and we'll go more deeply into that in a few slides. And by putting this service template and creating these policies around it, I can handle changes where, like, maybe I have to scale this application under load. Well, I can set policies around how I scale that application and things like that. I can build automation around what happens when this application is deployed so that I get that consistent deployment every time. Not only that, when I deploy this application, I may have tested it and built that service template in my dev environment, but in production, I don't want this application talking to my dev SQL server. I want to talk into my production SQL server. So I want to be able to inject information into that application so that when it's deployed, it's talking between the right servers and the right services that you want it to talk to. For example, I have a customer demographics application we're going to be looking at in a little bit. That customer demographic graphics application has four tiers. It has a web tier, it has two business logic tiers, and then it has a database tier. Well, when I created this template and I was building it, I was setting it up to deploy to my production, my development SQL server, and my web servers were called DevWeb01. Well, those are parameters inside that are saved inside the service tiers. So what I had to do is every time I deploy this application, I created a replaceable parameter that said deploy to, and then give it a name on deployment time, what the SQL server is and what the web server is. And by doing that, I can now take this application template and deploy it on any of my farms.
Call you back.
And it will get all the customized information and talk to the correct database tier and the correct web service. Once I've created this customized deployment, as I'm building how to deploy this application, I then can deploy the service. And when I deploy the service, not only does it throw down the virtual machine, it configures the virtual machine, it then goes through all those runbook processes that normally I'd have a large runbook that I'd step through, click here, switch this registry key. I can bring that all down into an automated task where I can do pre-application deployment scripts, I can deploy the application and do post for all the different tiers. So I have a lot of flexibility there. And then lastly, once I deploy this application, it doesn't just sit there. Over time, I may have updates to it. I may find as I'm monitoring the application, I didn't give it enough CPUs, so I want to expand the CPU resources. Or maybe I have an update to that one of those middle tiers. I want to deploy an updated package. Well, I can create the policies on how I update that application, and I can push that updates down to the deployed services from the template that I have. So this life cycle means that we need to help you be able to provide this for your customers. And System Center 2012 gives us a couple of ways to do that. The first thing we were talking about is application self-service. My end users want to be able to basically pick from a menu and say, I want to deploy this, go off and do it. I don't want to have to worry about the configuration of it. I just know that I need this particular type of service. But I, as an administrator, I want to set some control over what they can access. So I want to be able to delegate which service templates, which VM templates they can use, but I want to be able to maintain control over how much of the resources and how, in which types of virtual machines they can deploy. So what I allow you to do is set a quota on how much they can deploy, and if they go over the quota, they won't be able to deploy any more virtual machines until they remove some of those or free up some of that quota space. This allows the application owners to log in, only see the particular cloud resources that I've given them to see, and be able to deploy and manage those applications depending on what kind of rights I've given that user. They can do that by using existing templates that I've provisioned for them and given them access to. And then lastly, I, as an administrator, want a single point with which I can set these limits, and I can do that through Virtual Machine Manager. And I can do that for my on-premises private cloud environment as well as my Windows Azure cloud environment. And we'll show you how both of those fit together inside of System Center 2012. Now, once those applications are deployed, I want to see how they're running, and I want to ensure that I'm getting the right performance and meeting my SLAs. So I want to monitor this application's performance as it's running, and I want to be able to report back if I encounter a problem or what my SLAs are and make sure that I'm giving my customers the trend of service that they're asking for or requiring or that I've promised for them. So I can see things like uptime. I can also see if there is a problem, it's happened a lot of times, I can go in and investigate further where that problem is and then be able to pass that back to my development team so that they can help find the resolution. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to hop into the demo and we're going to show you how you can, one, as an administrator, set those delegation and control, and then two, what it looks like for the end user when I set that kind of control. All right, what you're looking at here is the console to Virtual Machine Manager 2012. Inside of Virtual Machine Manager, I have the ability to specify user roles. And the user role is when I log into either Virtual Machine Manager or App Controller, I choose of the user roles that I have access to, which one I want to log in as. So I've created this user role called Cloud User 29, and it has a few domain members. I just use Active Directory to determine, you know, which systems and which users or groups have access to this environment. The other thing I do is I choose the scope as to which cloud resources they have access to. So this anybody who logs in as this user role, Cloud User 29, has access to the administrative infrastructure cloud, as well as the Contoso staging cloud. Now, inside each of those clouds, I can specify how much of the resources they have access to. And I can do this in two levels. I can do it at the role level. And when I do it at the role level, what I'm specifying here, oh, we're going to switch mics here. So what I specify here when I set it at the role level is, of all the sum total of users that have logged in as this user role, how many virtual CPUs can they deploy? Now, all right. Can you guys hear me in the back? Excellent. So what I've been able to do here is set the number of virtual CPUs to 8, meaning that the sum total of all VMs deployed by members of this group user role called Cloud Users 29 can deploy a maximum of 8 virtual CPUs. That could be 2 VMs with 4 CPUs, it could be 1 with 4, 1 with 2, and 2 with 1, whatever combination. When I try to deploy that 9th virtual CPU, it won't let me. Funny thing is, I have the ability to only deploy 10 virtual machines. So I couldn't even deploy all 10 because I'd hit the 8 limit first before that. When I move down to any one individual user, they could deploy 8 virtual CPUs as well, but they can only deploy 4 virtual machines, meaning that if they deployed 4 one processor virtual machines, they would still have some of that quota left on the table. So I can specify it at both levels. And when I say unlimited or I leave that use maximum, it'll use whatever I've allowed that cloud to use, provided, you know, there's physical resources to support it. And I can set quotas on a per cloud level. So if I have multiple clouds, I can do it for each of them. Now, in the development environment, I want them to be able to deploy as much as they can as far as the group's concerned. But any one user, I want to set a couple of limits, like 300 virtual machines there. Not only do I specify how much they can consume, I can also specify which resources they can consume. So inside my library, I have a list of a ton of different resources. I have virtual machine templates, I have hardware profiles, OS profiles, all these different types of profiles and templates inside my library. I can add multiples of those and assign them to this user role. And that allows me to specify which particular resources this user can deploy. Not only can I just specify what they can deploy, I can also specify what they can do to those types of resources. So in this environment, I'm allowing them to author or create a new virtual machine. Well, maybe I don't want them to be able to create the virtual machine, so let me remove that. I can allow them to deploy, but only from a template. meaning only something that I've given them permission to deploy. They can't deploy a brand new blank virtual machine and then load whatever operating system on there. They can only deploy the OSs that I've given them permission to deploy. And I have pause and resume. I can pause it. I can connect to it remotely. I can start and stop it. And just so that you guys know, I purposefully turned off shut down so we can see what happens when he tries to shut down a running virtual machine. And then if I want to specify run as accounts that he would use for deploying an application, I can specify them in there as well. All right, so I have that configuration set, and the user role is there and available. Now, what does it actually look like? I'm going to go into App Controller, but I'm going to log in first as the administrator. So I'm logged into this connection here as administrator, and I'm going to show you what App Controller looks when it can see everything inside of there. So App Controller is a web-based interface where when I connect into it, I just go to the URL and I log in as my credentials, Contoso administrator in this example here. And it asks me which user role do I choose, and I pick the administrator user role. So what you can see is over here on the right, you can see that it tells me who I am, and it allows me to sign out if I need to. But it also shows me down here which clouds are available, how much resources have been deployed, and what's my limit or my cap. And for an administrator, I basically have some virtual machines deployed, but I have an unlimited cap. I can deploy them all I want. So it looks like I have two virtual machine manager servers. So App Controller allows me to talk to multiple virtual machine servers, VMM servers, and inside of there, whatever clouds are deployed in each of those servers. So I have two servers, and I have 6 total clouds. I also have a connection to Windows Azure. And I have that Azure subscription available to me as well, so I could deploy services that I created and copied up to my Windows Azure account through this environment as well. Not only do I have applications and virtual machine or clouds that I have access to, I have those services that we talked about earlier. So I have this service called Customer Demographics here, and we can see down here that it has an environment with a multi-tier system. If I open up the diagram, we can see what actually those tiers are. So I have a web tier that has two VMs deployed, a machine tier, and an application tier. So I can see all of these different services that have been deployed within my entire cloud environment. The next thing I want to do is go in as the cloud user who's a member of that user role. So let me pop over here into System Center App Controller here. And here you can see I'm Cloud User 29. And Cloud User 29 was a member of that Cloud User's user role. Inside here you can see that it shows the quota that I have used. I've used one virtual machine and I have available 303 more. Because I had 300 in cloud, the staging cloud, and I had 4 in the other one. So 304 minus 1 gives you that 303. If I look at the clouds, I can see just the two clouds that I have permission to see, and you don't see that Windows Azure subscription. I don't have access to it yet. I also have some services that I've deployed personally. So I have one app that I've deployed here and another customer demographics, but not all the services that were available, just the ones that I have permission to see. And what I can do here is I can deploy a virtual machine. I can pick the cloud environment that I want to deploy to. And this is where quota setting helps. So if I pick the administrative infrastructure, I have 3 virtual machines that I could deploy, 4 virtual CPUs. So if I hit OK there, it asks me which template inside of this administrative infrastructure do I want to deploy. I have a list of all the different service templates and virtual machine templates. But I have these two here, customer demographics. We saw that needed 4 or 5 virtual machines. Well, I only had the ability to deploy 3, so it tells me I can't deploy it in this cloud. I could probably deploy it in the other one, but not this one. So I'm going to pick the single-tier staging. That's just a 1 VM cloud. And I pick that, and it says after I've deployed it, I still have some room available. Oh, but I can't because I've hit my limit on storage quota here. So instead of going there, maybe I want to pick the staging cloud. And then I can start deploying that application. And the templates that I can see from here, same templates, so I can pick this one, and obviously I'm going to have a lot more resources available to me so I can deploy it. So hit OK. Once I do that, it asks me for that tier. I had one virtual machine inside of it. I want to configure it. Do I want to set a specific computer name or those types of things? It allows me to type those things in to this dialog here. The other thing it allows me to do is set a name for that service. So I'll call this and at that point hit OK and I'll hit deploy and it'll kick off that deploy task to that farm. And we'll see whether it succeeds or not in a few minutes. Now you saw that I didn't have access to the Windows Azure system. Well, I as an admin might want to give this user access to deploy up on Windows Azure as well. So what I'll do is I'll log back in as administrator and just show you where you would do that inside of App Controller here. And here I would do it under the subscriptions. If I look at my Windows Azure subscription here, I can right-click and edit the properties, and this is where I can set, under Active Directory, who has access. Whoops, I'm sorry. Not under there, under user roles. The cloud user Azure role I set here. Under properties here, it allows me to specify who in Active Directory I have access to see this cloud. And I see I have cloud admin 29, but not cloud user. So let me add him in here. Because I'm going to need it for the next demo. At that point, I've now added this user to be available to see which Azure subscriptions, the Contoso Azure one. If I had more there, I could choose which of those this person has the ability to connect to. And at that point, when I log back in as Cloud User 29, we'll see the Windows Azure subscriptions. That's where I can turn on and off the ability to access these different subscriptions. We see now I have one Azure subscription there. If I look under clouds, we'll see them all there. So that's where I can give that self-service experience. They can deploy the applications and services that they want on their terms, provided it's within the boundaries that I've specified for them. So that's the deploying of the service with delegation. All right. Next thing I want to talk about is this service that we have. So the services that I've deployed, I want to have a consistent way of deploying these applications and a consistent way of updating them. And that's through the service template model. The service template model allows me to manage these applications in a way that gives me the ability to deploy and configure and update in a consistent manner. When I start moving to the consistent or the abstracted level here. So if we look kind of at the model of ways you may deploy an application, a current application today may be traditional. I deploy the OS and then I give it access to the end application owner. He can go in and start deploying his application. Consistent means I've built a lot of automation and runbooks around exactly how I deploy this thing so it's the same every time. And abstracted is a new way of taking that application I've deployed and encapsulating it inside of a package and using that package to deploy over and over the repeatable application the same way every time so I know it's going to succeed. So what is a service template? We've seen this customer demographic service template. It's a couple of things. First of all, it talks about what can each of these tiers do? Do I want them to be able to scale? Do I want them to be a web tier, a SQL tier? What's actually running on that system? And it's really just tiers of virtual machine templates. Now, those virtual machine templates have different characteristics. At a web server, you have the VHD or the VMDK or whatever underlying hypervisor you're using for that template. You have the OS hard disk, basically. You also have the configuration of the profile of the OS. But lastly, you have the application profile for that web server. If I can take that web server and I can pull out the MS deploy package, I can repeatedly deploy it over and over again, knowing it's going to be the exact same web environment. For the app tier, I can use server application virtualization to encapsulate that application so that I can repeatedly deploy that thing, running prescripts and postscripts on it to inject any data that I want inside of that application. And then lastly, we leverage SQL DAC to pull the characteristics of the database so that when I deploy this application, it'll deploy SQL Server, and then it'll deploy these databases on top of that. We save those in the template, in the library as a service template, and we version that. We give a version, say, 1.0. Well, maybe I have that application deployed, and I want to update that application. Any of the services that are deployed are all backed by a service template. And if that service template gets an update, then I can look at any of the deployed services that are against that template and see which of those aren't to that version, and I can then push at my leisure the update down to those different tiers. So it's template driven. The template is a source of truth for that service that's deployed, and then when I update the template, I can push it down. And I can do it either in place, meaning the VMs stay the same, and I'm just updating the application or the configuration of that VM, or I can do image-based, which means I lift up the application and configuration, drop in an updated VHD file or VMDK, and then drop that image back down, the application back down. So that would be something I would use maybe if I was doing a service pack update or something, where I have an old VHD file with the old service pack, and then I have a new one with the new service pack. Instead of having to go through every machine and doing a service pack update to them, I can just lift the app, throw the update in there, bring it back down, and give it the same name and configuration information. So what do these look like? Basically, I have this template. I choose a service from the library, and I deploy that service from the template. Now, if I want to make a change, like the OS configuration or the app configuration, I modify and make a copy of that template, make the change to it, then I publish that template. Once I publish it, the deployed services realize they're running the wrong version. They tell me they're pending service update. And at this point, I can deploy that update and push it down to the service. I change the app tier, so we'll see that change. The other thing is I leverage this technique called upgrade domains. And what an upgrade domain allows me to do is take the number of deployed instances in that tier, divide it by the number of upgrade domains, and I'll only bring that many VMs down at a time until I've rolled through the update. And what'll happen here is that if I had 3 upgrade domains, it'll upgrade the first one, bring that one back up, upgrade the second, and then upgrade the third. This means that I'll have, if the application can support it on this update, I'll have limited to no application downtime as I'm updating that service. Image-based updates is exactly the same, except instead of pushing the application, we're actually pushing the VHD file down, lifting up the application and throwing it on there. So the same thing, we leverage upgrade domains. We allow you to then take those applications, and obviously this is going to take a little longer if that's like a 6 or a 12 gig VHD file to do that update, but it'll be a consistent way of updating that application or the OS underneath that application. All right, so now I'm going to show you what that looks like inside of VMM. So inside of Virtual Machine Manager, if we look at, minimize this, inside of VMM here, if we look at the VMs and services, we have this customer demographics application, and it's running version 1.2 template. So I'm going to go into my library, and I'm going to find that, I'm going to find that template. So we see customer graphics version 1.2 right here. So this is the template that that one's based off of. The first thing I want to do is make a copy of that template. That way I have an update. I mean, I have the original, and I can always revert back to the original if the update I made didn't work correctly. Once I made a copy of that template, then the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go into that template and I'm going to make whatever changes I need to make for that application. So I'm going to edit the, I can either open the designer, I can edit the templates inside of there, I can edit just the properties on the outside, whatever it is I want to do for this application. And in this case, what I'm going to do is make a couple of changes here. First of all, I'm going to change the version number from 1.2, I'll change it to 1.5. And basically, my end users told me that the web service is running a little slow. So these virtual machines, however they're deployed, just aren't cutting the mustard. They're not giving me the performance I need. So I'm going to pop it up here. And if we look at the hardware configuration for these web servers, we can see that I only have one virtual processor assigned to it and 512 megs of memory. So one of the things I can do is change the configuration, bump this up to two processors and bump the memory up to dynamic. We'll start at 1024 and go to 2048. Whoops. That'd be a lot of RAM. All right, so at that point now, it's going to start now with a gig and move up to 2 gigs after I've deployed it. I could do other things, like I could modify the application or the OS configuration. I'm just going to do something quick and simple so you can see what actually happens. After I've saved the template, save and validate the deployment here. And at this point, this template is available, but it's not ready to be used because I haven't published it yet. So the next step would be to go and publish this template so that I can now start using it for the existing templates that I, or the existing services that I've already deployed. So I can just right click on it and choose publish, and at this point it makes it available, and all the different services that are deployed will now see that. I could revoke it if I wanted to. If I didn't like what happened, I can pull it away so other people won't use it. Click on VMs and services here. At this point we see the customer demographics. It's running 1.2 and it says current. But if I go to this service section here and I hit a refresh, what we're going to see is that there's a new release available inside for that template. If I right-click on this virtual machine and I set the template, what I can do now is look at what are the existing templates available for me and which one do I want to set to. I could have like 10 different versions and I could set it to the one that I need. I'll pick 1.5, that's the new one I have there. Hit OK, next. It's going to now validate what settings have changed, what values that I've put in there, do I need to make any changes to those values? And it'll see that in the web service, we're going to make a couple of changes. But all the existing configuration parameters, I'm going to leave them all there, and I'm not going to make any changes to them. I can apply the updates in place, or I can do a new virtual machine, which is that image-based update. I'm going to do it in place because it's quicker. And then lastly, it looks at what has actually changed between the existing one and the new one. And what we'll see is that the only things that have changed are the amount of RAM, amount of CPUs for those virtual machines. If we go down to web tier here, we see that the current value of the number of processors was 2, and we're going to go to 4. It was 1, and we're going to go to 2 in the memory, and so it's all inside of the different things, CPU count and memory count. So it's all right there. So I'm going to hit apply updates to the service immediately, so it'll start kicking off the process. And I'm going to hit next. If I wanted to view the script so I could automate it, I'd do that right there, and then finish. So at this point, it's kicking off the task, and what we're going to see, I got to hit the wrong one, escape, control 4. What we see is that it's starting to stop one of those web tiers. So it's using the upgrade domains, and it's splitting it up. So now my web service is still available. It's just bringing down one of them. The other thing it's going to do is it's going to change the configuration of these virtual machines. So the first one has one processor and 512 memory. And now that I've powered this one on, it has 2 processors and a gig. So it's doing that for me and applying the change so I don't have to worry about it. It's going to do, after this one's up and running and the service is back and connected to VMM and they're talking, it'll bring down the next one. So it just bounces through the different VMs in the tier by the number of upgrade domains. So that allows me to set how these things, how the template works. The last thing I want to talk about is I have this stuff on premises, and I can do these things on premises. How do I do them inside of Windows Azure? Inside of Windows Azure, there are a couple things I got to think about when I'm managing across multiple clouds. First of all, those service templates work great when deploying to a private cloud, but those service templates won't work inside of Windows Azure currently with the existing release of VMM. So in Server App V, I have to have that package and configuration information when I deploy a service. And App Controller allows me to copy that up to my Windows Azure environment so I can see services and clouds both on Windows Azure as well as locally on premises. I can manage those subscriptions by being able to specify which user roles see the different particular applications, and I store this with a private key that's stored inside of App Controller's database. Then that App Controller uses that to log into Windows Azure through the Windows Azure Service API, and we're able to now communicate and see what services are deployed, and you can able to start, stop, deploy, remove all those different applications. The other thing you're able to do is you're able to monitor how these applications look. I mean, not monitor how they look, but monitor the applications, whether they're up in Windows Azure or running locally. So we have the ability through Operations Manager to see and connect through Windows Azure, through the Azure MP, the monitoring pack, what's happening with those services that I've deployed. And I can create some complex, not complex, but some extended distributed applications that see both of the on-premises pieces of this service and the Windows Azure piece. It can show them both together inside of here, which means that I can create like a watcher node, and that watcher node may be running locally, looking at the web service running in Windows Azure, which is talking to a SQL server that's running locally, and I can, in any part of that service goes down, I can see which part and drill down and find out where the challenge is. So I can do those things and see them on-premise or up in Windows Azure. So there's only one more thing I want to show inside of here for Windows Azure, and then we'll pass it over to Daniel. So back inside the environment, we gave that user access to Windows Azure. So now I can see Windows Azure, but he can't see he can't see any services but the services that are in that one Windows Azure subscription that I have. So if I look under services, I'll see both my local on-premises as well as my Windows Azure services. They're both right there. If I wanted to do something with that Azure service, I can open up the diagram and see things like how many virtual machines are deployed. I can do things like start and stop different numbers of instances. I can scale out if I have enough room to do that. And I can do that all through App Controller here. By just like right-clicking on that application or right-clicking on this one, I can view what's happening with it. I can take this application at the service level, and I can do things like start or stop the application. All of that's done through Windows Azure, through App Controller, to the services up there. I can also copy an application that I've deployed or created for Windows Azure through the library up to my Windows Azure blob storage. And I would do that by connecting to a local share, pulling out the files that I need, the CSP package and the other package pieces, and put them in my image repository for each of the different applications. So under the PCSC demo storage piece of Windows Azure, I have the ability to have both the package, the CSCFG file, and the CSPKG file. And I can just copy up new services and be able to deploy them once I've copied them up and gotten them from development. So that's the App Controller side of the self-service piece, the understanding and giving access to your end users so that they can deploy this environment. Next, what I want to do is be able to I want to be able to monitor that, and that's where I'll let Daniel come up and finish up for the day. Thanks.
Thanks, Kenan. All right, good afternoon, everyone. So as Kenan says, once we have your application deployed, the most important thing once your application is running is understanding its health. The second thing is, if you obviously have a problem, is being able to get to the root cause of that problem to be able to reduce your mean time to repair. So when we think about monitoring, we think of this concept of 360-degree monitoring. Monitoring across the four main aspects you have related to your application. First of all, is it available? Meaning, is my application up and can my users get to it? Secondly, is it performing? Meaning, can my users do what they need to do and the application responds in a good period of time? Third, is it reliable? Is it doing what it's supposed to be doing? Is the data that is being returned consistent and correct? And fourth of all, diagnostics. If I have a problem in that application, how can I understand where that problem is to be able to fix the problem? So how do we do this? So if we think about the monitoring solutions we have within Operations Manager, it really starts at the infrastructure. Now, whether this be in your private cloud, monitoring your network layer, your virtual machines, your operating systems, Ops Manager typically out of the box has been the best of breed solution for monitoring your infrastructure, both across your Windows servers and across Unix and Linux as well. But then we take it up to the application level. In System Center 2012, we've added capabilities so that you can add application monitoring instrumentation to your app with minimal configuration from the user side, and I'll show you this in a second. So starting on the server side, how do I get that performance reliability from what's happening within my application? The second thing we have is the client side, being able to understand from a user's perspective within the browser how that application is performing. And then third, the measure of availability, probing the application, being proactive via synthetic transactions both from inside and outside your data center. So this is the solution that we have. So that's the first aspect of 360, being able to understand all those related pieces of information. The second aspect of 360 is being able to give that all that rich monitoring information out to the people who want to consume it. So an administrator of OM, I can look at it through the Operations Manager console, but I want to be able to make that information out. Say I have a problem with the network, I want to share the information in Operations Manager with the network admin. I can delegate access to these views out through our web console. And ultimately, if I wanted to put it into, say, like an IT manager's favorite tool such as SharePoint, I could publish that information into SharePoint. In System Center 2012, we built this rich dashboard extensible infrastructure that allows you to share the same information across these three screens. So that sets up what I'm going to talk about. So I'm going to jump into a demo now. I'm going to switch across here. So let's look at my application. So I'm going to open up the browser here. I'm going to fill for a little bit because obviously the application has taken a little while to load. Nothing to do with the TechEd network. It just seems I have a problem with my application. So here we have a standard application deployed in here. It's obviously having some performance problems. What I want to show you now is how easy it is to set up the monitoring aspects and understand to be able to diagnose the problem. So the first monitoring aspect we want to be able to set up is determining whether my application is available or not. In System Center 2012, we have this concept called Management Pack Templates. These templates simplify the configuration required for setting up monitoring by walking you through a wizard-driven experience for what needs to be configured. So I have this Web Application Availability Monitoring template, which does exactly that. For all my web applications, it's going to measure their availability. So for that Dinner Now application, I have configured this. So if I open up this template, here you can see it's simply asking you three simple questions. What do I want to monitor? These are the URLs or the endpoints of my application. Where do I want to monitor from? I can monitor from my internal locations, which are agents around my System Center infrastructure, or now, as you would have seen in the keynote this morning, by a global service monitor, you can use Microsoft-provided points of presence to monitor your applications that are externally facing from outside your data center. So you get that. You get a multi-view, both from internal and from external, where your users are. And then lastly, I have a set of configuration. So here I can specify warnings, alerts around the response time, what the status code may be. I can do content match, so if I wanted to validate that the application was working and returning the right data, I get that information back. So those three simple questions, and I've set up availability monitoring. So now let's talk about performance and reliability. So here we have another template called the .NET Application Performance Monitoring template. And again, I configured this for Dinner Now. So if I look at that, again, a very simple experience of what you want to monitor. So when Operations Manager is installed, it goes out there and finds all the applications I have available. All I needed to do was add the applications that were discovered into this box here. So I have my Dinner Now, my front end tier, and my business tier. I have a set of defaults. I am plugged in. I don't want to lose power. I have a set of checkboxes here, turning on performance events and exceptions events. So when my applications is running on the server side, actually give me a second, this is going. Okay, there we go. So sorry. So on the server side, I have a set of checkboxes to turn on the monitoring. We provide a smart set of defaults to say, okay, if a certain call within my application takes over a certain period of time, I want to generate an alert. There's a set of advanced settings where I can be more specific over the monitoring I want to provide. Then I have the client side we talked about to be able to instrument the calls coming from the browser and understand the actual end user performance. Again, I very simply check a box and that's enabled. Again, we provide a set of defaults and I can be more advanced and that's it done. So through those two simple wizards, I opened that twice, I've now configured the ability to get availability, performance, and reliability information from my application. Now I want to bring it all together. So we've had this concept in Operations Manager called distributed applications. So this is about stitching the application components together, very much like the service template, to be able to monitor them in the same way. So if I look at this application, what I have here is I have my Dinner Now app, I have my presentation tier, I have my business tier, and I have my client performance, which is my synthetic transactions. We can see here we have a problem, and by drilling down, it can tell me where the specific problem is. So here I can see I have a particular violation happening from monitoring from London. But what else do I get with this? So in System Center 2012, we've actually created a rich set of dashboards around my application. So here, this is a view you can give out to your application owners that tell you about how your application is performing. So here we have a list of applications. I have Dinner Now, and we have indexes over those various functions. So I have what my response time was. I can see how my availability has been doing. You can see it hasn't been doing very well. But my reliability and performance. And then at the bottom, we have a set of SLAs. So the ability to provide those business rules over my application and quickly understand what's going on. I can drill in further here. So this would be a good view for an IT manager to understand how they're doing. But if I want to get more details about what's going on with the application, I can drill in and look at the application summary dashboard. This is going to give me more information about the Dinner Now application. What are the components it consists of? So here we see the synthetic transactions that are running. Okay, we see the various components and the warnings that they have. If I click on these, it'll tell me the response times and the monitored requests. And if I drill down, I can see all the alerts associated with this application. So I can see I have problems. So I have all this information now. I want to be able to diagnose and find out what's going on. So let me start with this alert here. So I'll open up this alert. And I'll go to the Application Diagnostics console. And here we see, now this is data that is coming from the users who are accessing this application via the browser. So what I can see is what actually happens when that page renders. And we have a breakdown here that's telling me where the time has been taken. So we see the large pinkish box telling me that 85% of the time the call for that slow application is happening on the server side. We get other information like how long it took the DOM to load. We also get a breakdown, okay, of what the page was consist of. So if I had an application and I deployed a new package that contained an image that was very large, you would see that within here. And we have various other statistics down here about what's going on in that call. So this is great. This now tells me I do have a server-side problem. I want to troubleshoot what's going on. So not only do we set up these aspects of monitoring, we tie them all together so you can actually trace what's going on. So here we have the client call, which is calling the web server, which is calling the server. And we have monitoring going on in the server side as well. So I can click on that, and I get more information about this event. So if I look here, I can see the actual call that's been made and where it's been made to. And what is the time being taken across the various calls. Now, if you think about a conversation that you would have with a developer, you're going to say, okay, this is the data I'm getting from monitoring. We have a problem. The developer may come back and say, well, it's probably related to the environment, okay? It's probably the fact that your servers are overloaded. So not only do we capture the performance event from the application code, we also capture the performance counters that are running on the box at the same time. So I can say, well, it wasn't related to the environment. We can see the performance of the machine at this time was fine. The next question is likely to say, well, this is probably a one-off, something that only just happened. I mean, we can see here under similar events that this is something that's been happening quite a lot. So we can start to answer these questions, and now we can send this information across. Okay? And we can go down further. Okay, well, so where was this call being made? So we have this get restaurant categories. And if I expand all, we see the SQL call is the one that's taken the longest time. So 4 seconds of that application being slow is due to the SQL query. So this could be something we could send to the developer and say this is something that needs to be optimized for our environment. So there we've seen determining whether my application is available with synthetic transactions both from inside your data center or outside via global service monitor, performance and reliability, monitoring on the server side and your client browser, and then bringing that all together to be able to diagnose the problem. So then lastly, let's say you were having, let me close this down, go to here. Let's load this. So not only do we have the monitoring data around your applications, if you have lots of applications within your environment, we also have a set of reports. This looks across your whole environment and be able to do problem distribution and various other sets of reports. So you can actually do this as part of, say, a weekly triage, looking at the problems within your application. If I run this report here, which is the problem distribution analysis, this is going to give me information of all the problems that are happening in my environment, categorized and then sorted so I can go and tackle the top problems that I have. Let that run. So here we see a breakdown of the problems that I've been having. Obviously not so interesting since they're all performance-related problems. And I get various details about where it's happening. So I can easily prioritize all the application failures within my environment and go and start to troubleshoot them. Okay. So what did we just see? What we saw is the ability to configure application performance monitoring with no instrumentation required through a very simple set of steps. By just defining the application you want to monitor, simply setting a set of thresholds. We provide the defaults and you can tune them. You can get that rich set of monitoring both from the server side and from your client's browser as well. And what that allows us to do, we have a problem with my application. It's running slow, a typical user fault. We can look, we didn't show this, but I do have a session tomorrow on operations manager. We're going to talk about the network monitoring. The network may look good. The code may be fine, okay? The servers seem to be running fine, but we can open up the conversation, sharing that data we get in operations to be able to understand where it's wrong, whether it be a client-side problem, and be able to diagnose the issue. So that really covers the application monitoring aspects. But just to recap what we've covered in this session today, so Kenan showed us to be able to do application self-service, so empowering IT to be able to delegate with control out so we can take consistent applications and get them deployed. We showed how you can do that management of applications both across your private infrastructure and across Windows Azure. And then thirdly, I showed you how you can bring this 360-degree monitoring together and really solve problems and reduce your MTTR. So if we look at that lifecycle revisited, we have the application specification. So we've defined the resources and the requirements for the application. Then there was then provision to the VMM library. Creating the service template, so creating that definition of the application that allows people to delegate and specify control over it. Customize the deployment, so understanding how that application is going to get deployed. Getting the service deployed, and then the most and the important factor of configuring the monitoring across that to be able to understand the health and availability of it. And then obviously we have the versioning and the ongoing upgrade and control of that. So with that, System Center 2012 is available for download and evaluation. The link is here. With that, I'll ask Kenan to come back up and we'll take any questions you may have. Thank you. Any questions?
It's good stuff. So if you want to see this in action, we have a few sessions later on this week. If you look at the management track sessions on application performance monitoring or on App Controller, those types of things, you can see them. You can see what's coming new in the updating of System Center as well. We have a few sessions on Service Pack 1. And then also, we have some hands-on labs. These hands-on labs really talk about App Controller and the APM stuff that we were talking about today. So you can run those today in the hands-on lab area. Thank you very much. We really appreciate your time. Oh, I guess I didn't turn on.